we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you here in Brevard County. That's a really horrible accent. You know, I wish I had my kid's skill of being able to pull out different accents all of the time. But anyway, today is March 17th. My name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, and we want to thank you for tuning in. Pray that you have a great day. My kids, when they were growing up, they attended a daycare. It started off right down the street from us, then it moved over to Coco, and it was Aunt Wani. And every March 17th, they would have a breakfast for the kids, and they would serve them green eggs and ham. And it's like, not sure I want to eat green ham, but they would put some food coloring in the eggs, and so the eggs would be green. Fortunately, the ham was regular color. But if you haven't had breakfast today, you know, that might be something you consider for your menu. All I remember is growing up that it was a day that if you forgot things, you got pinched, and you got pinched a lot. And so hopefully nobody's pinching you today, and that you are having a great day. I look forward to what God is doing today. Today is Thursday, and it's one of my real busy days of the week. And so getting ready here in a week or so for Resurrection Sunday. And plan now, if you do not have a church that you regularly worship at, we would like to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. Look, we have a picnic style lunch afterwards where we're supplying the meat. We're asking people to bring some potato salad and coleslaw and baked beans and some dessert, things like that. I think chips are the other one. I don't really concern myself with all of the details. I just show up to eat. But we're going to have a great time. We've got a great event planned for the kids that they're going to not only walk away with some candy, but they're going to also walk away with a lot of little items to remind them of elements in the resurrection story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And so if you are able to come out that day, we would love to have you. We have children's church. We have three different Sunday school classes that are available. And so all that is coming up on March 27th. We would love for you to come and be a part of that. So if you don't have a church to worship at, you don't even have to wait till March the 27th. You can come and join us this coming Sunday. Sunday school starts at 9:30. Worship starts at 10:30. We would love to have you there. So I've been doing this thing on covenant because I want to walk in that covenant that was made available to Isaac. And the harsh reality, let me take you to Galatians chapter 4 initially here this morning. Galatians chapter 4, and I'll share with you, the truth of the matter is every person that is listening to this broadcast is walking in covenant right now. You're walking in covenant with one variety or another. There's only two possibilities. And so let me share with you Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So right now, today, March 17th, 2016, every person on planet Earth is either A, walking in a covenant of bondage or a covenant with death, or they are walking as a beneficiary, as a participant in a covenant of freedom, a covenant of promise, and a covenant of life. Which one sounds best to you? As for me and my house, I prefer freedom to bondage. And, you know, I know that there was the Emancipation Proclamation and that freed the oppression of the slaves, and I condemn slavery. I condemn slavery in every aspect, whether it's racial slavery, whether it is slavery to government, we've talked about that, or whether it's financial slavery, where the borrower is servant to the lender. I condemn all of that, you see, because God does not want us walking around as people who are in covenant with bondage and death. I don't get up every day and say, you know, I wonder if this is today, the day I'm going to die. That's not the way that I live. I don't walk around and say, you know, this could be it. I want what the Scripture says. I want to be able to number my days aright and know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, because the God who made this day made me specifically for this day. It says that the Sabbath is a gift to the man. It's a gift to humanity. And so when we come to worship, it is God's gift to us. I read this this article, and it said that by praying as little as 12 minutes at a time can have a renewing effect on the mind. And this was not a philosophical article. It's not somebody that's a preacher that is saying this. This was an actual medical study where they monitored people's brains while they prayed, while they talked with God, and they noticed that the operation of the brain began to transform itself in as little as 12 minutes. So I've shared this a couple of times with my congregation, shared it with a prayer meeting, and then I shared it with the congregation. Now I'm sharing it with you. You see, because it's a lot of people say, well, I don't have 12 minutes to pray. And I want to share with you this. You and I can't afford not to renew our minds for 12 minutes. Did you know that sometimes it's just a momentary lapse of judgment that can be a fraction of a second, just a small minutia amount of time where your brain isn't functioning at peak performance, and it could be a life-altering situation? We need to renew our minds spiritually. And so today, I just want to let you know, you have the option to break that covenant with bondage and that covenant with death. You see, Jesus came to set the captives free. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The covenant is available for us all. So look at the alternative, and that is that God has provided for us, like he did for Isaac, that we have a covenant of freedom, that he liberates us from those things that controlled us. He sets us free from the oppression of the enemy. That is a glorious thought. He sets us free with a promise, not with condemnation. He gives us life instead of death. So here's the way that I want to approach each day. God, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What do you have for me today? What do you have for me to do today? How can I take this journey with you? How can we walk in covenant together? You are the one that sets the course. You are the one who determines. I believe that God wants to open the doors for us as far as our occupation, as far as our relationship, as far as our finances. I believe that God is a way better doorkeeper than what we are. And so I want him to open doors that no man can open, and I want him to close doors that no man could shut. I want him to be the one that controls what I go in and come out of. I don't want to be the one that makes those decisions. You might find this a little bit odd, but it really is a pretty accurate statement, and that is this. In the last, 30 years, over 30 years, God has helped me find, I would say, 98% of the jobs that I had. Every ministry position, God has opened the door. Every non-ministry position, God has opened the door to where I didn't, on most of those, I didn't even have to fill out an application or a resume. I have literally had people run out of a store and tap me on the shoulder and say, do you need a job? Now I did have to fill out an application after that, but there would be people who would call me on the phone. Literally, that's happened so many times that when people talk about going out and looking for jobs, I understand that it's a reality. But God has been my door keeper for so long that I really appreciate it. You see, living for him is one of the easiest things. I was talking with a person who, they weren't hostile towards Jesus, but they were not a believer. And I was talking to them, and they looked at me and they said this, Bob, you make Jesus sound so real. And I said, you know, that's the easiest job in the world because he is real. And right where you are at today, the presence of Jesus is there. You are not facing your battles alone. You have been sentenced to life, not life in prison, but to life with Jesus as a believer. You are walking in covenant with him. And I've told you that story that a preacher friend of mine said. He said, I told my wife that if she ever left me, I was going with her because she was the best thing that ever happened to me outside of Jesus. And today we are sentenced to a journey with Jesus. We are stuck with him, and we are bound together on this path to abundant life. And so I encourage you to celebrate that and to enjoy it. Now, I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 8. I want to read some verses there. Verse number 3, it says, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is obsolete, or is becoming obsolete and growing old, is ready to vanish away. So he's talking here about the old covenant, the law of Moses that had been established. And it's not that there was anything wrong with the law. It never says that the law was defective. He said there was a problem with the covenant. The problem with the covenant is that we could not do it. If you look in Joshua, when Joshua is getting ready to die, he tells the people, he said, this is getting ready to be it for me. And he said, you've got to make a decision. You've got to choose for yourselves whom you are going to serve. If you're going to serve the gods of Egypt, then serve them. But if you're going to serve the Lord God, then serve him. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And the children of Israel said, we choose the Lord God of Israel. And you might think that Joshua would say, oh, praise God. I am so glad to hear that. I was afraid you were going to choose the wrong God. But that wasn't what Joshua's response was at all. Instead, he said, you can't do it. You can't do it. And you and I, when we realize we can't jump high enough, walk the line straight enough, we can't do it without assistance, we would realize that the problem with the first covenant wasn't with the law. The problem wasn't with God. The problem was with men. And so God established a second covenant. We'll talk about that more. But he established a covenant that would make the first one obsolete. Now, there is a misconception about that first covenant, that God was going to lower the standard here in this new covenant that he was establishing. That's not the case. Jesus came not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. He came and took on flesh, and he fulfilled the covenant for us. So our righteousness is in him. Our obedience is because of what he has done. And so the first covenant was replaced by a covenant of grace that was made on our behalf, and it cost God everything. It cost him everything. And so I will just say this, that there's not a third covenant being established. There was the covenant of the law, now the covenant of grace, covenant of forgiveness. There's nothing wrong with the covenant that God has established through Jesus Christ. There's no defect in it. There's nothing that man is going to be able to say, we came up with better terms than what you offered. That's not going to happen. You see, I know some people, they're really good at negotiating, and they will go and they will pit one company against another, and they will work out the best deal. I want you to know there's not a negotiating tactic that you're going to be able to employ with God that is going to get you a better covenant offer than having your sins forgiven, Jesus come and taking up residence on the throne of your life, where it affects your heart, it affects your mind, it affects your lifestyle, it affects your finances, it affects everything. It is the best offer ever made for you and I to walk in covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I encourage you to do that. There, it talks about here that the evidence of the covenant of Moses was the written code. So let me recap, because we've talked about the covenant that he made with Noah and the covenant he made with Abraham. Those were verbal covenants. Those were covenants where God said, and the thing was that was what God said, we were to rely upon our memory. Now, thank God the Jewish people were very intentional in remembering the things that were said. It wasn't, however, until Moses came along that those words were actually written down. Up until then, it had been passed down orally, and so you had people who devoted great amounts of time to remember the oral traditions that had come down, and the Holy Spirit inspired Moses and said, let's write these down. Up until then, it was just what you remembered. And if you remember the story of Eve and the serpent, one of the very first tactics that Satan employed through the serpent was this: has he really said, and began to cast doubts on the things that they had heard. And then when she accurately recounted what God had said, then there was, well, what did he really mean? What did he really mean? What was his intent? He was actually saying that because he wanted to deprive you. And there was slanderous accusations that were made against God, and there was an ability to rationalize. And so a verbal revelation of what that covenant was helpful. But there needed to be something better. And so Moses comes along, and there's the Ten Commandments, and there's the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There were people there who would help them to understand the laws and the requirements of God. And I want you to know that was very serious, because later on, when the Assyrians come in and carry off the 10 northern tribes, and the king of Assyria imported people from alien lands into that place, they said, we need you to send a priest because we don't understand the demands and the requirements of the God of this land. In other words, they were saying, this land is part of God's covenant, and we need somebody to instruct us in God's ways because we don't know. And so there were the Ten Commandments given, and you would think that if you had it written right there in front of you, that you would be able to look and you would be able to understand. But I literally had a person tell me this one time as I was teaching on the various imperatives that Jesus had given us in the New Testament. You see, it's not that God doesn't have requirements for us. He does. There are things that he tells us to do, like go into all the world and preach the good news of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations and heal the sick and raise the dead and do signs and wonders. And so I was teaching on these imperatives, and this person said, you know, whenever I hear the word command, whenever I see that, there's part of me that wants to rise up and say, I don't want to do that. There's a part of that. And just like that individual, that's what the written code was, that it was better than the verbal because you could at least see it there. But as long as it just stayed as words on the page, it really didn't affect, you see, because if I have a fenced in yard, but we've had dogs that the first thing that they wanted to look for was a way out of the fenced in yard, not realizing that the yard was there to give them freedom. There's a cartoon I see every once in a while, and a guy says, you know what, I'm tired of this fence, and I'm jumping over it. And the person says, wait, don't jump. That's not a fence. It's a barricade. And there was a cliff on the other side. It was designed to protect that person from life. And what happens is, because of our fallen nature, even though we have the written code at times, there's parts of us we still can't comply. We still can't obey. I've got a daughter that's very artistic. She's got a father who's not. I cannot color. I make very lousy stick people. There's a reason why I'm not an artist. I can't draw very well. I'm not very precise. And this is several years ago, but it wasn't that long ago, maybe 5-10 years ago. And my youngest one's getting ready to graduate college this year, so that'll tell you, you know, about the age range there. And I come home one night, and there my wife and my daughters are, and they're all in their coloring. And my wife said, this is just so relaxing. And there was no television there. They're just all in their coloring. And you know, they could have been making something for children's church or Sunday school. I don't remember what they were making, but it was so relaxing. And it's like, you've got to stay inside the lines. How can that possibly be relaxing? And so the covenants that God established, they went from verbal to written. But here in Hebrews, it talks about what is also mentioned in Jeremiah, that God was establishing a new covenant, and it wasn't going to be a verbal, and it wasn't just going to be written, but it was going to be internal, where he would come and write the requirements of the covenant upon our hearts and upon our minds. So I want to ask you today, because remember, yesterday we talked about the evidence of Noah's covenant with God being the rainbow, and the evidence that was in the flesh of the males for Abraham's covenant. The evidence of God's covenant of salvation is this: the things that move your heart are not the things of the flesh, they're the things of the Spirit. And the things that you think about are the things of the Spirit, not the ways to gratify the lusts of the flesh. And so, if I could I ask you to just examine the hard drive of your heart and of your mind and analyze and say this: is there evidence there of this new covenant relationship that Jesus has made possible for me? Not because I have to, but because he's changed my heart in such a manner that I want to walk in this covenant. You know what? In all reality, I do not have to be married to my wife. The reality is, I choose, and she chooses to stay in that covenant relationship. And I pray that the church would realize what a great blessing it is when we choose the path of righteousness for the sake, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the paths of righteousness, that he leads us in those paths for his glory and for his praise. Amen. So today, let's ask God to take what we hear in church this weekend and what we've heard in the past, and let's ask him, God, would you write it on my heart and mind? Would you make it a longing? May it be a delight and a desire for us to do your will. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would do whatever is necessary. God, that it wouldn't just be what we had heard. Lord, people generally only remember a fraction of the things that they hear. And Lord, sometimes there's rebellion that rises up whenever we see things in the cold, black and white letters of the law. But God, I pray that you would change us to where the things that you desire are the things that we desire. The things that please you are the things that please us. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to think like you. Lord, that we would be moved with compassion like you. God, may your covenant manifest itself in our hearts and minds. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.